Children ages K through fourth grade may be dismissed for children's church. Jeanette is anxious to have you there and share the word of God with you this morning. Be a great morning. Thank you, kids. We love you. Well, today we are finishing our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We have been, you thought I preached long. Jesus preached enough for us to go 20 weeks. And so here we are at the end. And like I said, next week I will be sharing a new series on prayer. And then after that, as we begin December, I'll be preaching on gifts and what it means for us to receive the spiritual gifts from God and what it means to pass them on. So lots of good things on the horizon coming up. Jesus talked about a wide range of things in the Sermon on the Mount. Some things that might have made you squirm a little bit. They made me squirm a little bit. But all of it was practical. And at the same time, so complex and yet so simply profound that I don't think you could ever get out of it all that's there. We just scratched the surface. I feel like the Beatitudes I could have preached for a year on easily. But we move on. Today we look at his closing words. These words are not just another topic he's covering. What he's doing is he's bringing everything that he's just said down into focus and saying, if you do what I have just said, your house will be built like a house built on the rock. If you don't do what I've said, if you don't put the words that I've just shared into practice, it's going to be like you building your house on the sand. And when the rains come down and the floods come up, remember that song? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his... How many of you... Oh, you remember? Okay. Built house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the man on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man, you could sing with me. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock, or the house on the sand went flat, splat. I always said splat, yeah. Let's look at our scripture this morning. That's what I learned in Sunday school. Not today, but a while back. All right, Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice... In other words, not just what he's saying today during this sermon, but everything that he's said in the last 20 weeks for us on the Sermon on the Mount is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now we know that Jesus is drawing an illustration from practical building trades. And the focus is probably not so much on practical materials and engineering, but rather it's on our soul. Jesus is talking about the condition of our heart and how we're going to build our life and what we're going to build it on. He's addressing the fact that you and me, when we build our life on Him, our house will stand. It's immeasurably important that we take the words of Jesus seriously. If we don't, we run the risk of building our entire life on something that's not going to add up to anything and end up at the wrong gate. Remember, we talked also about the wide gate and the narrow gate and the wide road and the narrow road. So I want us this morning to take a good, hard look at the words of Jesus so that when we become among those who face the storm, and we just want to continue to lift up the young family this morning as you have... Stella's not here with us, even via live stream this morning, but like Jay said earlier this morning, I think it was Jay, she's got a front row seat this morning in heaven, and a front row seat here with us this morning. The storms will come. We don't know when someone that we love, perhaps even the person sitting next to us this morning, will not be able to return to church next Sunday because of something that's happened. So it's important that we think about how we are building our lives today as we consider Jesus' words. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, lead us now in how we are to build our lives, in how we are to build our homes. Father, give us the important lessons. Give us your truth today. And we prioritize your words above all. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus guides us to consider what happens when we build our house on the sand. I think I got a picture there. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it came down with a crash. First of all, let's think about what a crash looks like. I'd like to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. These are some painful verses. I struggle reading them because, for one thing, I see a lot of my past in it. And I see a lot of immaturity in my own self when I read through these acts of the flesh. Let me read them. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, divisions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then let's turn over to 6. Thank you, Brad. Verses 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But the one who sows to reap or please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Jesus is helping us understand the consequences, the result of not building on the foundation of Christ, not building our lives on his word. And I don't mean just agreeing with his words this morning. There's a big difference between just saying, I agree with what Jesus is saying, and then also living it out on Monday through Saturday in our work and in our family life. You see, a life that is characterized by the acts of the sinful nature, which the Apostle Paul tells us about in Galatians, is characterized by the acts and consequences of sin. And I just read them. This is a life that ends with nothing, leaves no lasting legacy, only sin-sick addictions and self-destructive behaviors, a life that does not seem to move ahead, but rather continues to just go in a circle. A circle in a circle, because a person that avoids building the foundation will continue to have to rebuild the structure because the foundation continues to fall away and it just deteriorates the upper structure. You see, when we avoid the hard work and the invisible work sometimes, how many of you have ever worked on a foundation? Just to know that as soon as you get it built, they're going to push the dirt in around it and you're not going to see the beautiful work that you've done. That's the way it is when we do things according to God's word. When we pay attention to what is going to hold our lives up, we don't have to worry about it anymore. When we do it the right way, when we put in the hard work that maybe nobody else is seeing, when we do it right, according to Jesus' plan, we can push the dirt up against it and not have to worry about whether or not this structure that everybody sees of us is going to crumble and fall. It's characterized by desperate attempts to hold things together, while in reality things are coming apart. That's what it's like when we're building on a foundation that is on sand. We're working, Alyssa and Josh are moving into a farmhouse that has been owned by the Trotter family since the 1950s. And it's a really interesting history of the house. It was built, I'm guessing, in the 1830s, 1840s. Dad's going to look at me and correct me if I'm wrong. But it was originally a stagecoach stop on the Galena Trail, which is now Eagle Point Road, in between Dixon and Galena. And so they carried the mail there and passed this house, and the original house itself was probably a tavern with some upper rooms upstairs to house people and their servants' quarters. It's a really neat old home, but it's very old, very, very old. And you walk into the east end of the house, and you begin to see that there's a foundation problem. Because the east end of the house, you know, you're kind of walking and you kind of go, whoa! you know what I'm talking about? The floor goes, whoa! And there's no, you can't look under there to see what's going on. And I speculate and surmise, and I don't know if there's any truth to this or not, but several years and years ago, Dad dug into one of the ceilings on that end of the house, and there were logs in the ceiling. There were, flat on one side or both sides, but there was still log framing. And I'm thinking that end of the house is probably a cabin that maybe they earlier pushed up against the new structure that they were building as the stagecoach stop. It's just we don't know for sure, but that side of the house is going down. And at some point, we're going to have to address the foundation. Because no matter how much carpet and paint and tape and plaster we put on the cracks, they're still going to keep widening. And the plaster is someday going to come down. So we have to address the foundation. You see, eternity, when we don't address the foundation, eternity will look just like our temporal life, in that we are only living in the superficial and not living for the eternal. A life separated from God. A life dedicated to living the superficial instead of the eternal. Let's consider the benefits of building on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. Therefore, everyone who puts these words of mine, hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I want to thank our tech team back there. You guys are doing some foundational work in that not everybody sees what all you do, but I was just thinking about, because you guys are in place, Stella was able to track with us and worship with us for years. And Holly and Molly, because of that, came and were baptized here, gave their lives to Jesus, and Molly's here with us this morning. When we do the foundational work, sometimes the boring work, sometimes the work that nobody notices, it's still making a difference. Amen? Life building on the rock is a life based on the Word of God. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, and frankly, some of us perhaps need to stop and dwell on those words for a minute. Because we hear so many other voices in our lives besides the Word of God. I'm going to talk about that a little more in just a second. Life building on the rock is a life based on the Word of God. Those who build their life on the rock stand. They make it. Now, if you've ever built a home from scratch, you know what this is. This is not a blueprint of the upper structure. This is a blueprint of the foundation. May not be real interesting to you. You can't really see, you know, where the bedrooms are going to be, where the bathrooms are going to be, where you're going to lay your weary body at night when you go to bed. But you know where the walls are. You know where the foundation is here. And the tragedy is many of us are so anxious to build a life that we neglect the foundation. I read one time about how shipbuilders back in the days of sailboats would prepare these huge masts for the ships, that this big tree in the center of the ship that went all the way up and held everything together. Basically, everything on the ship was connected to that huge mast in the middle of the ship. They would go into forests and find an appropriate tree that had potential. And then they would clear out all the surrounding trees and leave that one standing, leaving it exposed to the wind and the storms and the pounding and the raging storms that would come in off the coast. As that tree continued to mature, it would gain strength because it was beat mercilessly by the wind and the waves. It would gain strength because it faced the storm, the kind of strength it would need to be able to stand up on the seas during the storms, holding all of the apparatuses of a huge ship. But that tree would never gain the strength if it was left standing where it was easy, where it was sheltered, where it was not exposed to the wind and the waves. You see, it develops strength because of the storms. I'm not making this stuff up. That's how they prepared masts for ships. I believe that if we build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus and His words, then when the storms come, we will not only survive, amen, but we will learn that we can thrive even in the midst of a whirlwind. We talked about it last week. Many of us struggle, and myself included here. Life can get going so fast around us that we're just figuring, just our goal for the day is survival, right? If I can just get through everything that's happening to me, it'll be a victory. But what Jesus is teaching is there's more to life than just surviving. Jesus is teaching us that you can not only survive the storms, but you can stand up and you can become the strength that others look to. And you will find yourself thriving. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The foolish person ignores the words of Christ and ends up having their faith and their life crash down around them. And, you know, the fact is that that happens time after time after time after time again. Until we discipline ourselves and quiet ourselves and become so sick of the sinful nature robbing us of the foundational work that Jesus wants to do in us, we will spend the rest of our lives trying to rebuild the upper structure. And it'll just come down every time. A wise person can not only find security in the midst of the storm, not only gain strength to face future storms, but can also gain wisdom in learning from the storm. Wisdom that can help others weather the storms just like they have. We become lighthouses built on the rock, offering to others who are dying in the dark waves. Hey, there are people here in this room that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Some of the storms that have hit our lives have been pretty traumatic. So let's take a look just how we go about building on the rock. In our passage, Jesus hands us the two main components to building on a firm foundation. On the rock, so we can gain security, strength, and wisdom. The first one is intake. Intake. Everyone who hears these words of mine, let's stop right there. That could be so easily disregarded as just Jesus ramping up to make a point, but that's the point. Everyone who hears these words of mine. The first component that we need to talk about is how we get the Word of God inside of us. Amen? How does it, making sure that we are available listening to the Word of God, that the Word of God is moving from the page into our heart. If we're not actively listening to the words of Jesus and tracking with Him, then we're not building on the rock. I don't care how wise, amen, I don't care how schooled you are, unless we're listening to Jesus, life's going to come down. I just believe that with all my heart. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can call me narrow-minded. That's okay. I've been thinking about that lately. John, you're awful narrow-minded when it comes to the grandiosity of this world. And you know, because of the sermon series, I've been okay with that. Because Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And you know what? There are going to be people that think we're crazy, weird, stupid, illiterate, ignorant. They thought that about Jesus. They will think that about us. They will persecute. But I'm going to stick on the narrow way. Amen. I'm going to stick near to Jesus. You need to be intentional about getting the Word of God in. Right away, name two ways that you can get the Word of God in that you're doing right now. You may not want to say it out loud, but what are two things that you're doing right now to get the Word of God in? I can think of two: small groups and the preached word. You cannot build a strong home without first building a strong foundation. And I believe that regularity in church attendance is an absolute necessity. I'm just going to go on record this morning and say, you need to be in church. Because that's where we hear the Word of God. And you can say, I hear it on the internet, or I hear it in my devotional book, and I can hear it when I'm out deer hunting, and I can hear it when I'm out fishing. Let me just say, nothing takes the place of the local church, because the Word of God is preached in the local church. Let me just share some scripture, if anybody's doubting me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent, intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save them that believe. You got to be intentional about being in church. Because you know what? There are 100 other places you could be right now. Aren't there? Everybody said amen. You know, there's a lot of other places I could be right now. I could be working. And some of you have to. I understand that. Sometimes we have the choice whether or not we can work on Sunday or we could take it off. Choose church. Amen. If you have the choice, choose church. Entertainment. Say, I really, really, really need a break. No, you don't. What you first need is Jesus. And then Jesus will help you prioritize why you're so tired and help you figure out why you just had to have a break on Sunday morning. Is it okay if I go a little further? Okay. You asked for it. I gave you an opportunity here to turn it down, but okay, just got to turn it up a little bit. All right, we're going to crank it up a little bit. There's no alternative plan to preaching the word. There is no plan B. God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go a little further. Devotions, concerts, getting away from it all, quiet time alone, your favorite internet preacher, nothing can replace the value of the local church in the hearts and lives of the followers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go a little further. Everybody okay? Your kids need to be here too. Because if they're not building, hearing the word of God, they're not building on the words of Jesus. And unless you want to be rebuilding, helping your child rebuild their life when they're 40, 50, 60 years old, they need to be in church when they're young so that they're hearing the word of God so that they can build their life on the foundation that doesn't go away when storms come. I'm going to take it just one notch further. Okay, everybody okay? Okay, one notch further, and then I'm going to give us all a little breathing room. Okay. I believe that as bad as we want to grow, we ourselves have some internal growing pains yet to go through. For God to increase our number, we have to increase our faith. Until church attendance is important enough for us to make it an absolute priority, how can we ever expect that our friends and family would make it a priority? If it's not important enough to us to say no to other good things in order to say yes to the best thing, which is hearing the word of God foolishly preached, how can we ever expect that the people we invite to church would ever think that church's attendance is worth making a priority if we ourselves consider it to be optional? Everybody okay? That's all I got. It's all the Holy Spirit will let me do right now. With this first component of intaking God's word, we have the second component, which is output. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Here it is. Input and output. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Remember this. The purpose of Scripture is not for you to be informed. The purpose of Scripture is for you to be transformed. Many of us come to Scripture to be informed so that we can be one up over somebody at work, so that we can be more informed, more intelligent, quicker on the draw than someone else. But that's not the purpose of Scripture. Now, you will be a brilliant, wise person if you stay in the Word on things that matter. But the purpose of the Word is to transform our hearts to be like that of Jesus Christ. Amen? You won't be given a doctorate degree because you know your Bible in scientific circles. But you will be an influence and a light among everyone with whom you rub shoulders, leading to the truth and to the life of Jesus Christ. This only happens when we put into practice what we find in Scripture. So it is with home building. We choose to make certain things a priority. Everybody okay? We are choosing to make certain things a priority. You're here this morning because you have prioritized coming to church, to prioritize hearing the Word, to prioritize how am I going to live my life. We could replace the carpet in a home where the roof is leaking, but you know what? It would be just great until it rained again, until the storms came, and then we'd have a compounded problem. We can know Scripture. Maybe you've studied it long and hard, and you can discuss what the Bible says about all kinds of stuff. But unless we're actually doing what Scripture says, then it's all in vain. Knowing the Bible is not going to get us to heaven. Are you all okay with that? Jesus is not going to say, all right, who was Jacob's grandson? This is the question to get you in. Who is Jacob's grandson? I don't know. The question's going to be, what did you do with Jesus? And he already knows. I'm just making a point there. I don't think Peter's going to be out there with a clipboard. In spite of all the jokes that, you know, St. Peter, you know, a Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim went to St., you know, I don't think that's going to be like that at all. Jesus already knows what's going on in our hearts. And to die today means to be present with the Lord immediately for the Christian. All right. Unless we're actually doing what the Scripture talks about, then it's all in vain. Applying the heart of Jesus to that relationship that may be strained right now in your life, applying the heart of Jesus, allowing yourself to be crucified by that person in spite of the pain, is not just hearing the Word, but doing what it said. Everybody okay? This is hard stuff. Because we have to set aside our own agenda and go to the very root and the very heart and the very foundation of what this Christian life is built on. It's not built on popular culture. It's built on the words of Jesus and the life of Jesus. And frankly, that'll really mess things up if we're trying to just get along in life. It's radical. All right, moving right along. The Bible says that knowledge by itself puffs up. We can be all puffy with knowledge. I thought I knew something when I graduated college. I didn't know much. But I came away with, you know, having been through courses and Pauline epistles and synoptic gospels and the Old Testament, the New Testament, and I was a little puffy. And then I had some seasoned, you know, saints just stick me a little bit and I turned to puff. The stuff hadn't been developed yet in me. Remember my Grandpa Patch, he used to say, you got to stick by the stuff. The stuff is the Word of God. The stuff is the foundational work. We can have all kinds of knowledge, but the storms are going to poke us and we'll just go poof. It's the stuff that Jesus is talking about. Look with me at James chapter 1, 22 through 25. I asked Brad if I should stop here, and he said, no, keep going. So here we go. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, and Steve is still awake, so I know I'm doing okay, is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Amen, Jeff? As we do the Word of God, we are blessed. And all of us want the blessing of God. We just don't want to do it so much. You know what I'm saying? It is work. But if we want the blessing, we need to be the obedient one and do what he's calling us to do. It's not enough just to hear the Word. Have I said that enough to where we're going to take it home with us this morning? It's not enough just to hear the word. We got to do it. I didn't write that. We need to put it into practice. It's love. It's praying for those who despitefully use you. It's going the extra mile. It's turning the other cheek. This is what Jesus taught us. Not about how to survive personal conflict. Everybody okay? Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek, to love anyway, even when they're crucifying us, to love anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Now, we can run Jesus' actions and words through our mind and come up with a different conclusion. I believe we need to keep it simple and do what Jesus did. Love. Love. There's a lot of smart people out there. They have brain capacity that I am a little envious of. Can explain all kinds of scientific and philosophical phenomenon. That's cool. I've got no problem with that. The problem is that in spite of intelligence, there's no wisdom. They're making foolish choices in life and they disregard the Bible because it's simple, simplistic, or irrelevant in their minds. And they never put this great learning they have at their disposal to actually discovering what the Bible says, what Jesus said and what he did, and then putting into practice in their life. On the other hand, there's also lots of people who maybe haven't had a ton of schooling, but they live their lives doing the best they can to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And at the end of their life has an incredible legacy. It adds up to something that stands. It's solid, it's firm. And they end up better off in this life and the next because they allow the Word of God to come in and transform them into Christ-like people. And when you do that, God can and does use us in powerful ways. No matter if you're rich or poor or somewhere in between. For Jesus to be who he was, he had to do what he did. Just let that settle in for a minute. For Jesus to be who he was, he had to do what he did. And I know you could turn that around next Sunday. For Jesus to do what he did, he had to be who he was. And that's true too. But we cannot be who we are until we do what we're supposed to do. Amen? We can have all kinds of aspirational goals about, you know, moving forward and cutting new ground for Jesus Christ. And if it's all up here and it's not playing out in practical ways, we're making tough decisions about where we're going to be on Sunday morning. Amen? Because what happens is two things. We miss out on the Word of God going in, and then we also miss out on, well, there's people that are kind of expecting, that you've invited, that are kind of expecting to see you when you come. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, I know I should invite to church, but hey, when you go, I hope you have a good time. And meet that pastor. Hope he doesn't mess you up too bad. I just want to invite you and challenge you to do what it says. Take it to a whole new level in your life and just, well, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit fill in the blank. All right. The point is here, that intake without output is only a false foundation. You can't, maybe you've never missed the service in a long time. And you've taken it in. But the Holy Spirit's telling you about the output part. I don't know where you're at. I just know the Holy Spirit's working me over this morning, and it's good. As Christians, doesn't it feel good to be corrected by the Holy Spirit? Say, yeah, I'd feel better if that meddling pastor would kind of stick to his own business. Well, you know what? Jesus talked about the foolishness of preaching. And in some amazing way that I don't understand, somehow he uses this to grow his disciples. Amen? My prayer every Sunday is, Lord, help me not mess up too bad to where they miss the point of your Holy Spirit. Father, just let me be a vessel, a conduit to your Spirit speaking. And I pray that this morning. Hey, until we learn the current lesson that God is trying to teach us, we're destined to repeat it. What lesson is God trying to teach you right now? It may be very painful. I'll be honest. The first 12 years of my pastoral ministry, I was pretty good at running for cover when things got tough. In spite of the words of my grandparents, you got to stick by the stuff, and in spite of the words of my dad, who said, you can't keep ducking for cover when things get rough, you got to stick in there. In spite of the words of my district superintendent, who 9 months into my last assignment, I walked into a church in crisis, and I didn't know it was in crisis. I called him 6-9 months later. I said, you got to get me out of here. He said, I'm not moving you. I thought you were here to support me. I am here to support you. You've got some growing up to do. Isn't it great when the Holy Spirit just works you over like that? I'll be honest, my DS and I had some conversations that were tough. And I'd have so much to tell him, and he'd say, John, you know I love you. And he'd be telling me, talking to me, and I'm like, oh, To the body, to the body, to the chest, to the jaw, right hook. Oh, I'm like, oh, Jeanette, can you hear what he's telling me? She's like, yeah, stuff I've been wanting to say for a long time. He'd say, you know, I love you, John. I'm like, oh, I know you do. At the end of the phone calls, I felt like hamburger. I felt worked over. I felt like he beat me up with a tenderizing mallet. But you know what happened? There were the years of the most intense spiritual growth I've ever experienced in my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm so, like I said, when I was reading about the acts of the sinful nature, I don't even like to read it because it reminds me of all the stuff that I was and who I was in the past. It's time for some of you to put the old ways aside and to take up the ways of Jesus in a new dimension that you've been scared to death to walk into. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. I don't know what it means for you. I know what it means for me, and it wasn't that long ago. I'm not very old. I'm only going to be 50, and this was only like 12 years ago. Well, it was more like 12, 13, 15 years ago. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that I had a lot of growing up to do. And I still have a lot, don't get me wrong. But I had a really steep learning curve 15 years ago that God brought me through. You may be on that curve right now. It's painful, it'll shake you to the core. But hang on, it's just a passing storm. God will make you stronger, amen? Praise the Lord. Worship team, would you come? Good to see Kirsten and Cody this morning. Congratulations. We love you guys. All right, would you come, and I see you would like to say a word before we move on this morning. Sure.
Here you go. This is a white one.
We just wanted to say thank you to all of those that came last night, to all of those that helped put the church back to the way it was supposed to be, to cleaning up, to getting the food ready, to just everything, making our night the best night it could have possibly been.
Cody, you've got some chairs that need to be loaded up, right?
Yeah.
So if anybody can stay afterwards and help Cody load up chairs, I'm awesome. Sure he'd appreciate it.
And let me add one more thing. I was hoping to be able to, you can sit down, it's okay. I was hoping to be able to address you guys today. Let me speak on behalf of our church. We are so proud of you.
Amen.
We love you and are so proud. Of all the things that, you know, sometimes happen during weddings and celebrations and receptions and everything, thank you for how you remained a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ and still had a great time celebrating your wedding. And we are just pleased as punch to have you here and that you chose the Living Well Community Room to... what you did here is you created memories for us, and we want to thank you for that. Yeah, yeah. Brad even took a few pictures, yes. Let's stand together and sing.
May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people learn to praise. our light shine in the darkness as we walk before the cross. May your glory fill the whole earth as the water o'er the sea. The mountain to the valley, hear our praises rise to you. From the heavens to the nations, hear our
joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for coming today, guys. You're dismissed.